You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Reporter Kirk Siegler covers the rural-urban divide for NPR. And in the last several years, he has reported on efforts to rebuild after the Camp Fire in Northern California.
Those of us who have stayed and who are rebuilding, we call ourselves pioneers. We never were victims, and we're no longer survivors. We're pioneers. We're building a whole town from scratch. We're really proud of that.
And on a struggling refugee resettlement program in Montana.
It was a very wonderful day for us, and we cannot forget that day.
Elongo is one of 330 refugees resettled since 2016 in Missoula, a college town of 75,000 people ringed by mountains and snow-fed rivers.
And here in Idaho, he's reported on the boom in Boise's growing population.
I'm single. There's only one income in my home, and I don't want to share my house with roommates.
So how did we get here, especially in a city like Boise that's long marketed its livability and affordability?
And the bust in places like Orofino, where folks are hoping political change will bring economic change.
It's kind of a dying industry. In some sense, I mean, there's
so when the opportunity came along to get on as a welder at a newer manufacturing company in town, Jeff's dad urged him to take it.
He was happy to see that I got out of the woods, though. You know, he spent his whole life working in the woods.
And now NPR has moved Kirk from Los Angeles to Boise to be closer to the issues that he reports on. And he is joining us in studio. Thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay, first question. How are you like living in Boise versus just reporting on it?
Well, I feel like I should answer that in a couple weeks because I've just been here for 5 minutes, basically. I never want to judge a place too quickly, but so far it's been great.
Well, so talk about that. So, I mean, so even though you're based here, I mean, it's not like you will only be covering stories in Boise or Idaho, for that matter.
Exactly. So I'm just basically keeping my same job, keeping the same beat, but relocating to a different city. The idea is to be a little bit closer to the people and places I routinely cover, which is largely rural America and largely public lands. Boise isn't all that rural, so to speak, as we know, but it's a lot closer to the smaller towns that I tend to spend a lot of time in. But I'll also still be covering the Western U.S. just from Boise instead of Los Angeles or Denver, which was actually, I don't know if I should reveal this, but that was the original place that I was asked to consider if I might relocate to, and I chose Boise instead. And talk them into it.
Look at that. So why is it important for NPR in particular to report on the rural-urban divide?
Well, I think it's very important. I think we have a problem in the news media more broadly, outside of just NPR, being too coastal and being too centered in cities. To really understand the issues facing smaller towns and other parts of the country and see why the country is so divided, I think it's beneficial to, A, spend more time in different places, but, B, actually just live in them. I've been covering the basically rural America from Los Angeles for the past several years, and it does help you kind of understand the differences between the two places, urban and rural America, but I think it's more beneficial to actually be off the coasts. And I think as certain parts of the country and the political establishment, not to say the impeachment hearings aren't very important, but I think having somebody out in the country full time as a national mm-hmm. correspondent covering the country from somewhere that's not a city of necessarily where all the power brokers are and all the political elites are is going to be beneficial for us, for our listeners, and for the country.
I think you make a really good point because, I mean, you grew up in Montana. I grew up in a small town called Chehalis in Washington State, mm-hmm. and very rural, you know, incredibly blue collar. You know, it was a big deal to graduate high school. And then when we have a shift in politics and you all go to these big urban centers, people are scratching their heads as to why something like this could happen. You go to these small rural towns and you understand why these things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually went back to Orofino, Idaho after Trump was elected. Mm-hmm. And some of us were maybe less surprised than others that Trump was elected. But I went back to Orofino because it was an area that was sort of familiar to me growing up in the inland Northwest, growing up around timber towns that have been kind of drying up for a myriad of reasons. So it's interesting to go back to those places. But you're also seeing something very interesting going on in smaller towns now with the I was just driving up here from California. I stopped in Harney County, Oregon, just a couple of hours west of Boise. And to follow up on some things, and that's a very traditionally was a very rich place. Now it's struggled for decades. It's the site of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge occupation. It was in the national news a lot. So going back to even a smaller town like that, you're seeing this trend of people moving to places like that, actually moving to smaller towns, millennials and other types of people kind of looking for that smaller town. Maybe they had a connection to that town in the past. Maybe like you or I maybe grown up mm-hmm. in some of these places. But because of the internet and the ability to telecommute and start up businesses easier in smaller towns, you're also seeing some big changes happen. And I think we hear rural America as this sort of monolithic thing, but it's not. And some places are struggling, just like many neighborhoods and cities and suburban areas, and other places are thriving. So I think it's our job in the media to sort of parse that and not make it one big thing.
Well, and then you get to this idea of having these news deserts in a lot of rural mm-hmm. areas. So and that's because many local newspapers are closing. So where then does media's responsibility come into play with making sure that these stories are being told?
I would push back just slightly to say that, you know, not to sound self-serving, but sure, there are rural news deserts, mm-hmm. but we in public radio are often the only ones heard in these places, in these communities. I was in Orofino and talked to a couple of years ago, and one of the first people I met, like, name-dropped my colleague who I sit next to.
Who's that?
But I do think we are running the risk of increasingly becoming more and more bifurcated with people going to news outlets that they think more aligns with themselves. And actually, I am usually greeted with a little bit of surprise that somebody from Los Angeles or a city is coming to that isolated small town to cover their issues, but in other ways, very grateful. And sometimes I'm the first reporter, and certainly national reporter, mm-hmm. They've ever met. So it is an issue, and I'm not going to be an advocate that I need to be the one helping bridge the urban-rural divide. Maybe we never will, but I do think reporting and just listening to people can go a long way.
And you spent a lot of time in Paradise, California, with, mm-hmm. when that fire happened, and really kind of embedded almost in that community. Will you be doing more of that, or does it really just depend upon the focus of a story that you'd be telling?
I think yes, and in fact, you bring up Paradise. I mean, I'm still going to continue covering the aftermath of that, and the I guess diaspora of that would be there's an article I saw actually in the local paper this morning about people in suburban Boise rebuilding their lives, moving here after the campfire. So many people moving to Oregon, all around the country, and some big issues. So be it the campfire aftermath or other issues, I'm hoping to spend just a little bit more time going back to certain places rather than always parachuting into new places. As a national correspondent, that's always the thing we wrestle with, parachuting into a town, trying to make a quick assertion or judgment of a place in a couple of days. Why not keep going back to the same or some of the same places and reporting on issues and following them? So you brought up Orofino. I suspect we'll be back in Orofino fairly soon, continuing to cover Paradise. Boise is a great place to jump off to a lot of these places. It's a quick flight, mm-hmm. And it's also easy to drive and cover communities and public lands. But you need snow tires, right?
Right. This time of year you do. Well, what Idaho-based stories do you think you'll be working on?
Well, I can tell you one the listeners should be hearing in the next few days, actually, immediately, is the homelessness case that mm-hmm. The cities in the West that started right here in Boise are asking the Supreme Court to weigh in on a ruling that they say severely limits their ability to crack down on encampments and the spread of tent cities. The homeless advocates, of course, saying that does nothing to deal with the larger crisis. So a colleague of mine based here in the West, Layla Falden, and I will be reporting that story, me here in Idaho and she in Los Angeles, looking at the implications across the Ninth Circuit in this region where cities are dealing with that. Another thing, I'm more broadly interested as well in some of the big changes that are going on in this part of the West, the out-migration from California and the coasts, and be it for economic reasons, be it political sorting, you name it. So I'll be looking at some of those bigger picture trends. Being around Boise just briefly really does remind me of what was going on in Colorado in the early 90s along the Colorado Front Range with a lot of growth and a lot of tension and a lot of things going on. And so these are some of the bigger picture things I hope to get at.
Oh, for our listeners, what makes an Idaho story of national interest to National Public Radio?
Oh, it could be a myriad of things that I just mentioned. Maybe it's an issue of a local fight that touches on much bigger national issues, many national issues, or many cities dealing with affordable housing crises, homelessness outbreaks. You know, so it could be something as simple as that. It could just be an interesting person who does something kind of cool. You know, it really doesn't matter. And in Boise in particular, it being one of the fastest growing metropolitan regions in the nation right now, it's not hard to find a local story of national significance that people elsewhere could identify with.
Okay, so just a note here. I'm noticing that you're saying Boise, but sometimes Boise. And we should note, you were raised in Montana. And we talked about this before we went on the air. So how did you grow up saying it?
I always heard it called Boise. Now, I know that could like totally ostracize
you're gonna
me out of
skewered,
town.
Right? Yeah.
It's funny because I just saw just over the weekend we were getting Christmas trees up in the National Forest, and I saw a bumper sticker that said, Idaho full, go back to California
right.
and Texas. That sort of tension has been around since I was a kid, probably well before that. It kind of goes in waves, mm-hmm. whether you know that story is happening in Montana, Eastern Washington or Idaho. But yeah, it's interesting. It does seem to be your mark. When you were playing the clips of some of my previous reports, I noticed I pronounced it, I think, correctly, Boise.
Boise.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's fascinating, though, that you grew up in Montana and you grew up saying Boise because, like I mentioned, I grew up outside of Seattle. We always said Boise.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, but hey, the locals say Boise, so there you go.
A colleague of mine at NPR, not naming any names, but she's on the air, grew up here and
oh, yeah?
says that
in Idaho
Boise, actually, and says that she never remembers it being that big of a deal and always pronounced it Boise. Only recently has this come in. Maybe it has to do with the tensions around growth.
Maybe it's like we know if you're a local or not, right?
Exactly.
Who knows? Hey, thanks
I've
for coming.
I've marked myself as not being a local, it sounds like.
That's all right. That's, you know what? There's always forgiveness and redemption. We've been talking with NPR National Desk reporter Kirk Siegler about his move to Boise, being based here, and some of the work that he has done and the work that he will be doing. Thanks so much for taking some time.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.